Well, Luke chapter 1, we're continuing our study of the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He is called John the Baptist. And when we say Baptist, we don't mean a denomination. In the Greek, it's actually John the baptizing one. So that's why he's called John the Baptist, because he, at the start of his ministry, was baptizing people. We'll talk a little bit about that. Jesus said he was the greatest. John the Baptist was a faithful servant of Jesus Christ, fulfilling his mission and ministry to given to him by God. And so what I want us to stop and think for our own lives, what is your mission and what is your ministry? We already know that the purpose of our local body and the purpose for each one of us is to make disciples. That's to lead people to Christ and then train them and equip them. Then what is your ministry? There are a lot of different ministries that we all got the same purpose, and that's to make disciples. But what exactly are the different ministries that we have? He was a faithful servant of Christ, fulfilling his mission and ministry given to him. So we're going to look, we're at the very beginning. We saw a little background. We're going to get a little bit more background this morning, and we'll see how it fits together. So when you think about a baby, and when a baby is born, that is pretty exciting. We talk about it, how they're so special, and parents look at them and they think they're the most beautiful things in the world, and they are, except sometimes they're really not. But anyway, they really are most of the time. We just love them, and we say, look at that baby. We say something like, boy, that's a baby. Oh, that's really beautiful, you know. But what happens this morning, we're going to see John the Baptist is born. And what does his father say? What's going on there? And so we're going to look at it. Zechariah proclaims a message to his people concerning his son. Now think about this. When you were born, there might have been somebody put something in the newspaper, births, you know, or something like that. There might have been something unique or special. But this is unique and special because this takes up a section of the Word of God. It is so amazing. So Zechariah says, let me give you the outline. If you remember, we started with the background, the forerunner, the family responsibility. That was last time. And now the birth of John, we're going to see the message of Zechariah. And then what's John's message? And we'll look at it because we need to kind of hit on it and see how it fits together. Then in the weeks to come, we're going to see John's message about Jesus as the Lamb of God and the sacrifice. We're going to look at John's life. And of course, when he accused Herod, then we're going to see John. This is going to be one, I think, this one right here that we just need to think about, because John actually doubted a little bit, or it appears that he doubted. So we'll talk about that when we get there, and then we'll find the statements of Jesus. What did he say about John? So there's a lot of good things there. Last time we started getting the background, and we said that God was sending a forerunner of the Messiah, and we talked about this. We said before a king would come, that like to a town or an area, a messenger would go and announce the way, and people would get everything ready, and they would smooth out the roads and make everything so that it wouldn't be bumpy when the king came. And so a messenger would go before the king and say, the king is coming, the king is coming. And we know in Isaiah that it said there was a voice crying in the wilderness, that there was somebody, a prophet of God is what most people would say, that a person is going to be raised up. Isaiah talked about it, that there would be this voice crying in the wilderness telling everybody to get ready. The king is there. Now, that person is John, what we call John the Baptist. And last time we saw background, his father was a priest named Zechariah. His mother was of the same, the Levi lineage. So she, her name was Elizabeth. And they were an older couple. They had no children. It was time for him to serve. And we said that there were 24 different orders. We're not sure how long they served. Some people think that they served a month. So that would mean you actually served as a priest maybe every 2 years. But they would go in, and then there were certain jobs you had to do, and it was an honor to do those jobs, and they cast lots, and it just so happened that Zechariah, it fell on him that he would actually get to go into the front room and burn the altar of incense, because there was a lamp over there burning all the time. There was a table of showbread, which they changed out once a week, and then there was this altar of incense, which represented prayers, and he got chosen to go in there and to keep the incense going. That's what his job was. He went in there, and while he was there, an angel appeared to him. The angel was Gabriel, and Gabriel said, your prayers have been answered. You're going to have a son. You're going to name him John. He's going to be great before the Lord. And Zechariah didn't believe it. He said, how do I know this is true? Because I'm old and my wife's old. And the angel said, I'm Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God. And because you didn't believe what I'm telling you, you won't be able to speak until all this comes to pass. And of course, all of a sudden, Zechariah couldn't talk. And when he came out, people were waiting, and he took extra long. And because he was talking to the angel, everybody said, how long does it take to burn the incense? You know, and they were all wondering, when is he going to come out? And he comes out, but they said, gosh, he must have seen some kind of vision or something, because he can't talk. And I think, and we'll see it later, I don't think he could hear either. It doesn't really say that, but it does say in a place that they made things to him like, what do you want to call the boy? You know, because he couldn't hear. We'll see. And we know he can't talk. Anyway, we'll look at it as we go through it. So he comes out, and somehow he communicates with Elizabeth, whether he writes it or something, and says, you're going to have a baby. We're going to name him John. He's coming. And sure enough, that's exactly what happens. And so they go home. And now, this morning, here's what we're going to see. Two things as we continue. We're going to see the birth of John. What does Zechariah say about the boy when he's born? And then we're going to start the ministry, and we're going to see John's message as it begins the ministry. And sometimes this message is confused a little bit, and we'll talk about it just so you got it kind of put together. So when he talks, he begins and talks about himself and others as well, and we'll see that. Now, think about this. He went home and told Elizabeth, when she was 6 months pregnant, an angel, the same angel, came to Mary and told her she was going to have a son who would be the Messiah. So the angel is told Zechariah and Elizabeth that their son will be the forerunner of the Messiah, and the same angel told Mary that their son would be the Messiah, the Savior. So we know that John the Baptist is about 6 months older than Jesus. So look at Luke chapter 1, beginning about verse 57. We're going to see the birth of John, and what does his father say? Look at verse 57. Now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had displayed his great mercy toward her, and they were rejoicing with her. If you remember when the angel told John, told Zechariah, said there's going to be rejoicing at this baby's birth. And so what happened when the baby was born? It says, and there were great mercy and rejoicing with her. So this is big. This is special. Okay. And then look what happens. And it happened on the eighth day. They came to circumcise the child. Now I want you to understand something. Just remember Mosaic law. They had to all do certain things. On the eighth day, if it was a boy, they circumcised the boy and they named him. On the 40th day, they had to offer a sacrifice and buy the son back. All firstborn belonged to God because of the firstborn in Egypt when he dealt with it. He basically delivered all the firstborn of Israel out from Egypt where all of the firstborn of Egypt died. And so God says, firstborn belong to me. And so every firstborn son, they had to go and 40 days after the birth and offer a sacrifice and buy the son back from God. That's really what the plan was. Well, we're not that far. We're just to the eighth day. And on the eighth day, it says, now it happened, this is verse 59. It happened on the eighth day when they came to circumcise the child that they were going to call him Zacharias after his father. So they came up to him and said, no, we're going to call him Zacharias. And the mother said, no. His mother said, no. He shall be called John. Now this surprised them all because see, everybody, especially if you were older and you didn't have a son and then you finally had a son, sometimes they'd say, well, you need to name him after you so keep the name going. That's the plan. And so they said, you want to call him Zechariah, right? And she said, no, his name's John. And they said, there's nobody in your family named John. I mean, that's what they found. There's nobody by that name in the family. Look at verse 61. They said to her, there's nobody among the relatives who's called by that name. Why do you want to call him John? And so they said, maybe she doesn't know what she's talking about. So let's go talk to the daddy and let's go ask him, what do you want to name the baby? So look, it says, they said to her, there's nobody, verse 61, there's nobody among your relatives called by that name. And notice verse 62, and they made signs to his father as to what he wanted him called. I think making signs means he's not hearing. I think he couldn't hear or speak. It just really talks about the fact that he can't speak. But why would they make signs to him? Why wouldn't they just talk to him if he could hear? Anyway, they come to him and they go, what do you want us to call the boy? The baby. And what did he say? He asked for a tablet. He asked for something. Usually it was some kind of wax that was a board with wax on it and something sharp. And then you could write in the wax what you wanted to write. I mean, they didn't have printing presses, you know, and stuff like that. So he says, get me something. And so he asked for a tablet and wrote as follows. His name is John. And they were all astounded. They made signs to the father, and he said, his name is John. Wow, that was the promise. He really believes. Now, I mean, well, let me say really believes. He's believing what God said. God said you're going to have a baby, and sure enough, he's going to have, and he also knows that he hadn't been able to talk until all this comes to pass. And guess what the next verse says? And at once, his mouth was loosed, his mouth was opened, and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak in praise of God. His mouth was opened. Now, it's been maybe 9 or 10 months since he's been able to talk. Maybe been able to hear. That's a strange time for him. And his wife, who is older, she's having a baby. She's going to have a baby. And so what is he going to do on this day? Now, he's already said, the angel said, his people will rejoice and he'll be great and he's going to be amazing. And God's word is always true. Let me just tell you, if there's any promise in the Bible, no matter what it is, even if it seems like it's way off, it's going to happen. He said, you old people are going to have a baby. And you, because you didn't believe, you won't be able to talk. And sure enough, he couldn't talk. And then they had the baby. And there are promises like, I give you what? Eternal life, and you'll never perish. And I have people say, yeah, but you could lose it. I said, but I think he just said, and you shall never perish. But now you're saying you could perish. Who do you think I would believe, you or God? Think about it. Who do you believe, God or people? People will tell you all kinds of things. God tells you the truth. So what happened? And at once, his mouth was opened and his tongue was loosed and he began to praise God. And I love it because it says, and fear came upon all those living around them, and all these matters were being talked about in the hill country of Judea. And all who heard kept in their mind, kept saying, what then will this child turn out to be? For the hand of the Lord was on him. And they all were, the word spread out everywhere that the old couple had the baby and they named him John. And this is what they said. An angel came and told them what John was going to do. Because on this day that the baby is being circumcised, John, Zechariah, is going to tell us four things about his son. They're all blessing and praising God and saying everything. And then notice verse 67, and the father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Spirit. So what does that tell us? Is this something he decided to make up? No, this is the word of God. This is the Holy Spirit speaking through him, giving direct revelation. So what he's about to say about John is from God. Okay, so what does he say? And the father, and his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. He's given prophecy saying. And so he says four things about the boy. Now we'll kind of skip down because he talks about God's going to bring the Redeemer, and from the house of David is the Savior, and salvation is coming and all of that. And then it's all the way down to verse 76 that he begins to talk about his own son. And if you look at verse 76, he says, and you, child, he's actually speaking to his own son, but it's going to be everywhere. And here's the first thing. The first thing is this, you're going to be a prophet of God. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. Wow. I mean, think about history. Who got to be prophets? I mean, Elijah and Elisha and Samuel and, I mean, famous people. I mean, that through the Bible, these were prophets of God. And now you're this time and the Romans are controlling everything. You've already been taken off into captivity. You're brought back from captivity. You don't even rule your own land. The Romans are ruling the whole land. And all of a sudden, your son is going to be a prophet of God. A prophet gives direct revelation, by the way. I mean, there's people today who call themselves prophets. In fact, they redefine the word prophet. They say a prophet is one who speaks the word of God with authority. Well, the truth is, I may speak the word of God. It's not my authority. The authority is the word of God. But second is, prophet means one who gets direct revelation and proclaims revelation from God. We're not getting any new revelation. You got the whole book. I'd say this. When we get this thing down, Pat, maybe he'll give us something else. But I think for right now, we're going to hold on to this. And so he's a prophet. He's going to give new revelation. and being a prophet is that is so amazing. He says, verse 76 again, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. Then the second thing he says, that you will go before the Lord. He says, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way. Now, is that Isaiah 40, which is the voice crying in the wilderness? No, it's not. It's Malachi 3, that there'll be one going before the Lord, preparing the way. But there's some really complicated things. We talked about it in my grow group one day, a couple of weeks ago, when we talked about Malachi chapter 3 and Malachi chapter 4. And one talks about one going before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, and then when it says something else, and when you read both of those, you assume that it's Elijah that he's talking about, but it's not. And so he says about the son, he says, you will go before the Lord to prepare the way. And he's quoting Malachi. And Malachi's talking about Elijah. Is John the Baptist Elijah? Sort of. We'll see what happens. You'll go before the Lord to prepare the way. I mean, this is it. This is the big one. Then he says in verse 77, he'll give the knowledge of salvation by forgiveness of sin. He says, and to give to his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. He says, he's going to proclaim a message that people will know and understand about the Savior and how to have eternal life and how to have forgiveness and how to be back into fellowship and relationship with God. And he's going to do that. And then there's one more thing that he says. He says, he will be a light in the darkness. He says, because of the tender mercy of God, with which the sun rises from on high to visit us, to shine upon those who in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And he's putting all that all together about the message of salvation and everything. He'll be the one that brings the light. And so what do we see about this boy? He'll be a prophet of God. He'll be the forerunner of the Messiah. He will show a way of salvation, the way of salvation and forgiveness, and he'll be a light to those in darkness. Now, what a life. No wonder Jesus said, out of all the people who ever lived on this earth, John the Baptist is the greatest. And you might say, well, what about Elijah? What about Elisha? What about these angel things? What about some of these people? What about Adam and Eve? What about Moses? What about Abraham? What about all those people? John had the distinction of pointing out and announcing the Savior of the world. All from Adam and Eve, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, David, Samuel. All of those people, they were all looking forward to the Messiah. John the Baptist said, there he is, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I think that's why Jesus says he's the greatest person that's ever lived. And so John is going to fulfill Isaiah chapter 40 and Malachi chapter 3. Now let's make a quick application of this, because we see, look at his life. He's a prophet, a forerunner, tells salvation, light in the darkness. Well, what do? We're ambassadors. We get to tell people about Jesus Christ. Now, we're not prophets, we know that. But we get to tell people the message, as he was the forerunner to point out Jesus. Jesus already come and gone. We are here to point out Jesus. We tell people that there's one who came and died and rose again, and whoever believes in him has eternal life. He's seated at the right hand of the throne of the Father. He's going to come back anytime, and we're going to get to be with him forever. We get to point that out in the same way John pointed out that there's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We point out that there he is. There is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Second, we get to tell people the message of salvation. You remember the gospel message, Jesus died and rose again, the gospel response to believe, the gospel offer, eternal life. We get to do that. And then the third thing is we get to be lights in a fallen world. And Jesus actually said that. He said, let your light shine in such a way that they glorify the Heavenly Father. Be a light. We're to be lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, in which we shine as lights in the world. Well, there's John. He's born. And God says, you're going to be a prophet, the forerunner, show the way of salvation, and be a light in the darkness. And then look at verse 80. It goes on to say, and the child continued to grow and to become strong in spirit. And he lived in the desert until the day of his public appearance to Israel. What? He lived in the desert until his appearance? So he didn't live with his mom and daddy? Maybe when he was a baby, maybe, and then suddenly he's gone and he's going out to live in the wilderness? And we already know that when you look at the Bible, and we'll see it in just a little bit, about the places, what he looked like, and he wore this coat thing, and he ate locusts and wild honey, and had this belt, and never cut his hair. Remember, he never cut his hair because he's a Nazarite. A Nazarite never cuts your hair. Oh, well, if Nazarite vow could be for 3 months or 6 months or a certain period of time, but he's a Nazarite from birth, which means he never what? Or how would you look at it? What would a person look like if they had never cut their hair? They'd be pretty wild looking, right? That's what. And so he's a Nazarite from birth. And so that's what he did. Now, with that in mind, we're going to then raise some questions. And I want you to turn, and we're going to look at what has he said about himself and about others. Turn to Matthew, okay? You're going to have to flip around just a little bit. Let me look at the time. We got a few minutes. So turn over to Matthew chapter 3. I want you to see something. I want you to see the beginning of the ministry. And I want to try to help you figure out, because we're going to see two things. What does John say about himself? And what does he say to others? Not about others, but what does he say to others? I just want you to get quickly his message and what did we see. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. Now in those days, now a long time has passed. A long time has passed. When did Jesus begin his ministry? About what age? 30. John the Baptist is what? 6 months older. John the Baptist may have started his ministry at age 30, and Jesus may have then come in 6 months later, because John had already doing his ministry before Jesus showed up. So here's John doing his ministry. Look what it says. Now, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. He's out in the wilderness, and he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then he goes on to say that this is the one referred by Isaiah, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now, I want you to understand that he's saying, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. This Matthew 1, 1 through 3 shows that he's the fulfillment of that. I want to just say something. His message was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That is not the salvation message. His message was to the nation of Israel to change your mind. That's what repent means. And realize the king is on the earth. Then they would believe in the Messiah. But he's telling the nation of Israel, you better understand that the king is here. The king is here. That's his message. And so flip over to John. Look, flip over to John chapter 1. I hate to say that, but we got to kind of flip around a little bit. Flip over to John chapter 1. And this is what does John say about himself? Look at verse 19. So Jesus, let's picture this. John is out in the wilderness and he's telling everybody to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And people are coming out there and they're all getting baptized by him. And they're all coming to be identified with the king and the kingdom and all of those kind of things. And the religious leaders don't know who this man is. And so verse 19, this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent to him priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? They said, who are you? What are you doing? And he confessed and did not deny. I'm not the Christ. They said, well, then are you Elijah? Because you look like Elijah. He said, no, I'm not Elijah. Well, are you the prophet? And it was maybe Deuteronomy 18, 13. There was a prophet that God was going to raise up. He said, no, I'm not that prophet. And they said to him, then who are you? That we may give an answer to everyone who sent us. What do you say about yourself? And what does he say? I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as Isaiah the prophet said. And so he says, I am that. What does he say? Is he the Messiah? Could he be the Messiah? What does he say? I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. I mean, he doesn't give them much information. In fact, as they ask questions, his answers get shorter. They said, are you the Christ? I am not. Are you Elijah? No, I'm not Elijah. Are you the prophet? No. And they get shorter and shorter, so they finally say, well, tell us who you are. He said, I'm basically the fulfillment of Isaiah. I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And I want you to turn to, I hate to say that, but turn to the Gospel of Mark and look at Mark chapter 1. And I just want you to see what he's doing so you can put it together. Mark chapter 1, and we'll look at verse 4. And it's the same message that we saw in Matthew, Mark chapter 1, verse 4. It's a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. He's telling the nation of Israel, believe in the Messiah. He is here. The king is on the earth. When you come, you're identifying and you're saying, I believe the Messiah is here. And they don't know who the Messiah is yet. They're believing in him. See, when you say, well, didn't all the Jewish people believe in the coming Messiah? No, they did not. In fact, most of them believe that you get to God by the law, not by faith in the Messiah. It's the same as what we see today. You say, don't all Christians believe in Jesus for eternal life? Most of them do not. Most Christians say, I'm a Christian because I've tried to live a good life and I repented of my sins and I gave my life to Jesus, whatever that means. They don't even know. So at the time of Christ, when John the Baptist is out there, there are people out there, he's saying, do y'all realize the king is here? The Messiah is here. You can't look at the law and try to come to God through the law. The only way of salvation is through the Messiah and the King. And that's what he's announcing. Look down a little bit at verse 7, because he says to them, look what he says. He was preaching and saying, after me, one is coming who is mightier than I. I'm not even fit to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. He's saying, I'm not even worthy to be a servant. I baptize you with water. I identify with you water. But what he's going to do, he's going to identify you with the Holy Spirit. That's the Messiah. And so John's message, first of all, about himself was that, let me put this up here. He says, I'm not worthy to untie his shoes. I'm baptizing you with the water. That's identification. He said, but he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit when he comes. So what does John say about himself? And they ask him all kinds of stuff. And listen, people didn't know what to think about this guy because he looked like Elijah. He looked like an old prophet from way back that they had all heard about. And his hair was everywhere. He had the thing on. He ate locusts and wild honey. He was out there. He was announcing. And what is so amazing, he didn't come into town and ask people to come out there. He just started making announcements out there. And people started flooding out there to see this guy. And he says, I'm not the Messiah. He said, but the Messiah is here. The king is here. And you better get ready. And so what does he tell them? Get ready. The Messiah, the king is coming. And the king is here. So where are we? We stopped. And we started with John's ministry. And it's a simple ministry to begin with. It is to announce that the king is here, have the nation of Israel come to God in that sense, and ultimately believe in the Messiah. And he hadn't pointed him out yet, but we're going to see that John the Baptist points out Jesus one day and says, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. There's the Messiah right there. And, I mean, it's pretty incredible. Because think about this. Out of all the people in the whole world, John the Baptist gets to point out the true Messiah. Could you imagine have been standing there, being one of John's disciples, and John said, there's the one I've been telling you about. There is the Savior of the world. We believe in Jesus for eternal life, and we've never seen him. They saw him. As different John writes in 1 John, he says, that which we saw, that which we held, that what we touched, that we saw him. He is the word of life. One day, you'll get to see him. To be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. If you were to die physically, guess who you see first? And if you don't die physically and he comes in the clouds, I think he's so amazing that when we are changed, we're going to see him right then. And you could say, how could all of us see him at one time? He is God. Just remember that. He can do anything. We'll all get to see him.